How do you do? Why are we here, and where are we going? What is the meaning of life? These questions are asked by almost everyone at some point. The man whose story we have to tell was determined to find the answers, and he did. But only after his heart and mind and life were unshackled. From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission brings you Unshackled, dramatizing true life stories in a program broadcast around the earth. More than a century ago, in 1877, Pacific Garden Mission began the work of helping the homeless. The scope of help, as well as the number of those seeking it, has greatly increased. Food, lodging, clothing, and medical and dental care are given without charge. Counselors concerned for the total person offer help with spiritual needs as well as material ones. These broadcasts can be heard around the earth and say if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. And now another in the series, Unshackled. One of the signs of maturity, or at least approaching maturity, is an awareness of the world outside of oneself. Asking why we are, looking for a meaning to personal existence. The man we're about to meet started asking those questions when he was in college. He didn't stop looking even after his friends convinced him that his questions were unanswerable. Find out the results of his search as we bring you the story of Lon Solomon, now on Unshackled.
I was born and raised a Jew. I went to Hebrew school and was bar mitzvah at 13. I grew up believing that there was a God, but I really knew nothing about him. When I was 15 or so, I got interested in other things. Women, drinking, partying, and I stopped going to synagogue. When it came time to go away to college, I thought I had it made. I joined a social fraternity at the University of North Carolina and did everything I'd ever dreamed about. I partied up a storm for a couple of years.
How could you be bored?
I don't know. All this drinking and partying is getting old. Nothing satisfies me anymore.
So what are you going to do?
Drugs might be the answer. Why don't we try that?
Sounds like fun to me. Let's go for it.
We needed jobs one summer, so my friend and I hitchhiked to the Catskill Mountains, to what's commonly referred to as the Borscht Belt.
And what can I do for you, young men?
We're college students, and we'd like to work for you this summer.
Oh, what can you do?
Anything you want us to.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from?
North Carolina.
If you came all the way to work for me, why should I say no? Besides, I could use a couple of waiters. You're hired.
We made a lot of money that summer. While we were up there, we decided to stay for Woodstock. That's where I really got into drugs.
Wow, you have got to try this.
Tell me what it is first.
It's acid, man. The way to open your mind.
Hey, great.
I guarantee you ain't gonna be bored with this.
Okay.
After that, I was heavily into psychedelics. I believed that I'd bumped into the answer to life, that these drugs were expanding my mind. When I got back to campus, I did a little more than get high and attend class.
Hey, Lon, I got a date tonight. Can I get some stuff from you?
Well, depends on what you want.
Got any speed?
Nah, not today. But why don't you try some acid? I got a new shipment, and it is quality stuff.
I don't think so. She doesn't do that.
Yeah, but you ought to.
Not tonight. How about some of that grass you had last week?
I can't let you have more than a bag, at least not till next week.
Well, that's plenty. I just need it for tonight.
Okay, but you gotta promise me you'll try the LSD.
Well,
I tell you what. Come up to my room tomorrow, and I'll let you try it for free. Now, what do you say?
Okay, I will. Hey, thanks a lot, Lon.
Think nothing of it. After all, what are frat brothers for? Probably 50 or 60% of the guys in my frat house who ever used drugs started with my encouragement and got them from me. As a matter of fact, I was one of the biggest dope pushers in Chapel Hill. We were doing LSD 2, 3, 4 times a week. After a while, I wasn't even going to class anymore. Needless to say, it's hard to get good grades that way.
What is it that you want, Mr. Solomon?
Could I talk to you about honors chemistry, sir?
It seems to me that it would have done you more good to talk about the class before grades were distributed.
Well, it's my grade I want to talk about.
I don't see that there is much to discuss.
Isn't there some way you could raise my grade to a D?
Mr. Solomon, that question might be worth discussion if you had ever bothered to show up for class. All you had to do was one individual research project.
I know. That's why everybody gets an A in honors chemistry.
Everybody except you. You, Mr. Solomon, have the distinction of being the first person in my recollection ever to have flunked honors chemistry.
I thought for a long time that I was making some spiritual progress, expanding my mind. I realized the truth after one particularly significant conversation with my friend while we were tripped out on LSD.
You're not saying much today.
Sorry, I've been doing a lot of thinking.
About what?
It seems like I ought to be getting better, but sometimes I think I'm getting worse.
What do you mean?
Well, instead of getting more kind, more loving, more gentle, I'm actually going in the other direction.
Lon, maybe you're not getting worse. Maybe you're just getting more honest with what you've been all the time.
He may never have realized the significance of that statement, but it was awesome to me. I couldn't shake it. As I thought about it, I realized that he was right. I had always told myself what a nice, loving, honest, trustworthy Boy Scout kind of guy I was. But the drugs broke through, and I stopped believing my own PR. I looked inside, and what I saw in my heart I didn't like. After that conversation, I began to view myself as in need, and I started looking for a way to meet that need.
We'll find out in a moment where the search led. Now here's Harry Saulnier, superintendent of Pacific Garden Mission. Harry, I hope our gift offer still stands.
It certainly does. We're continuing to offer to send a packet of 3 Unshackled short story booklets to anyone who asks.
The booklets are free, of course. Our gift to those who listen.
The booklets were a response to requests from listeners who wanted copies of radio scripts. We sent them what they asked for, but knew that a short story format would be far more readable.
So we took a considerable number of unshackled scripts and completely rewrote them as short stories. Then we arranged to have them printed up in the form of convenient booklets.
The booklets will fit in a purse or even a shirt pocket. But the stories are complete. At the back of each is a simple statement of God's plan of salvation. Thus, the booklets can be used in personal evangelism.
For your free packet of 3 unshackled short story booklets, address Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Ask for the short story booklets. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605.
When I realized the depth of my need, I decided to try religion.
No, it's not possible. Lon Solomon studying for a class. I don't think my heart can stand the strain.
Now tell your heart it's okay. I'm not studying. I'm reading about the Tao.
You mean as in Tao Jones?
Very funny. No, I mean as in the way or path.
Could you explain, please?
No. That's the whole point. The Tao that can be understood is not the real Tao. Anything that I could explain wouldn't be the Tao.
Oh, got it. Makes sense to me.
Here, it says vacancy, stillness, placidity, tastelessness, quietude, silence, non-action. This is the level of heaven and earth and the perfection of the Tao.
Sounds like a lot of fun. I'm glad it's you and not me.
Over a period of a few months, my perspective on myself reached the point where I felt I was really a rotten, crummy guy. I looked for anything I could get my hands on to help me deal with this internal problem. I tried Taoism, Confucianism, Zen Buddhism. I tried to be realistic with them, tried to practice them, give them all I had. They sounded like such great stuff on paper. The problem was that they didn't work in real life. When those failed, I went to see a campus rabbi.
What kind of help do you want?
Man, I'm hurting. Is there anything here that you've got that can help me?
Well, I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
I've tried everything, and nothing helps. Drugs, Eastern religions.
You're talking about internal needs.
Right. Nothing else has worked, so I came back to my heritage. Maybe I need to be a rabbi.
I don't think that's quite what you're suited for. Why don't we talk some more? Read some of these. Come back next week. We can discuss them.
He worked with me a little bit, but the bottom line was that there was nothing in Orthodox Judaism that could help me. It made me feel good I was a Jew, but I needed somebody to take me internally and change me, and there was nothing there that could do that. Then I had nothing. Going back to Judaism had been my last hope.
What are you talking about, Lon?
I decided to kill myself.
You can't be serious.
It's worthless. Why should I grow up, get married, have kids, the whole bit, when I don't have any answers?
Well, don't you understand? There aren't any answers.
Don't you care where we're going in life?
You know, you're really bumming us out with these downer trips of yours. Why don't you get normal like the rest of us?
One Saturday in the spring of 1971, I was walking downtown with my dog, Noah. On a street corner was this guy handing out leaflets. I'd seen him a couple of times before. He and his wife drove a van with Bible verses written all over it. On top, there was this loudspeaker blasting out Christian hymns. In a town like Chapel Hill, very intellectual, very philosophical, very college, this guy was not well received. People would spit on him. They cursed him out. They took his tracts and tore them up. They threw things at him. This day, as I passed him, a strange dog attacked Noah. Hey, break it up. Hey, break it up. Get out of here. Noah, come back here. Come back here, Noah. Get out of here, dog. You okay, Noah? Calm down. That's a good dog. That's okay. Okay, it's all over now. Oh. Hi.
Hi. Your dog okay? That other one seemed to come out of nowhere and left just as fast.
We're fine. Well, I'll see you.
Okay.
He was the strangest man I'd ever seen. To tell you the truth, I was scared of him. But in the 20 or 30 seconds I looked into that man's face, something went off inside of me. I walked off and thought to myself, that man has got something you're looking for. I can't tell you how I knew, but I knew. That was a turning point. Because I had become convinced that nobody had what I was looking for. I started going by there every week. I took his tracts home with me. I wouldn't read them, but I felt like the guy deserved somebody to take what he was handing out. 5 or 6 weeks later, I decided I ought to talk to him.
Well, why don't we talk this afternoon? Come back at 3.
Oh, no, not today. I got some other things to do. I gotta go. Maybe I'll see you next week.
You may not be here next week.
I tried to pretend I didn't know who he was talking to. I didn't want everybody to think that this nut was talking to me. But as I thought about it, I realized he was right. I might not be there next week. I had no guarantees. So I summoned up all my courage and went back at 3. He was gone. I was petrified. I felt like this guy had laid a prophecy on me and that I wouldn't live through the week.
Come on, Lon.
Wait, I haven't looked both ways yet.
What is your problem?
I told you what that guy said. I'm trying to stay alive until Saturday.
I'll be the one who doesn't make it. I'm going to be frustrated to death. You won't ride your motorcycle. You'll walk around ladders. You take the steps one at a time. What next?
Here, let's go in the bookstore.
What for? You only got $5 in your name.
I want to buy a Bible.
You got to be kidding me. You're eating the leftovers from the frat house because you're broke, and now you tell me you want a Bible.
I think I ought to have one.
At least wait till our next shipment comes in, then you can afford it.
Here's a little one for $2.50.
Look, Lon, I don't know what you're doing, but if this God you're talking about is so real, don't you think he can get you a Bible without you spending half your life savings?
That sounds spiritual. I'll put it back. But who in the world is going to give me a Bible? The next Saturday, I got up early, went downtown, and sat on a stoop to wait. At 10 o'clock, faithful as ever, he pulled up in his van.
I wondered if you'd be back.
Yeah, well, there's got to be a sales pitch that goes with all this stuff you do. I'd like to hear exactly what it is you're selling.
Oh, I'm not selling anything.
Well, then tell me what you're all about.
Okay. Let's start with the Word of God, where God reveals himself to us. In the Bible, he tells us what life is all about and how to find the power to live it.
That's what I want to hear.
The answer is through Jesus the Messiah.
I heard something about the Messiah in Hebrew school.
Oh, so you're Jewish. Well, in what we call the Old Testament and what you would call the Tanakh, there are over 300 prophecies giving details about the Messiah. And they're all fulfilled in Jesus. The sacrifices in the Old Testament times had to be constantly repeated until the Messiah came. Jesus was the final perfect sacrifice. And because he died to pay the price for our sins, we can have life. You see, it says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness." Would you like to ask Jesus into your life?
I don't know. What does that mean?
It means accepting the gift of salvation. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
No, I don't think so. You've got to understand, I'm Jewish. This is all new to me. I've got to think about it, okay?
Fine. Do you have a Bible?
No.
Oh, well, come here a minute. There, take this.
I don't have any money to pay you.
It's free. Take it home and read it.
I was scared. Here I told God if he was real to give me a Bible, and bingo, this guy gives me a Bible. I started reading the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew. I never read anything like that in my whole life. Jesus said more in one sentence than my philosophy professors had said in whole semesters. What Jesus said cut right to the core of the issues of life. I kept reading until one night I hit the 11th chapter. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." That's it. That is exactly what I'm looking for. He put into words what I was never able to. I figured I'd tried everything else and given them all a fair shot. He deserved a fair shot, too. So I got down on my knees because that seemed appropriate. "Okay, God, I don't know if you're real, and I'm confused about this Jesus person, but I'm in trouble, and he's saying that he can help. The guy downtown is telling me I need to ask Jesus into my life, and I don't have the slightest idea what that means. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you my life for a month. Whatever you want me to do, you just tell me. If you can show me you can give me rest and peace, then you can have my life for good." I was skeptical, but hopeful. Then I decided I needed more proof than a nice warm feeling, so I got back down on my knees. "God, before we close this deal, I need to at least know you're real. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to stop using the medicine on my dog, and you heal him from the mange. If you own the universe, you can certainly do that. That's not exactly the way to talk to God, but I didn't know any better. Still, my heart was sincere, and he honored that. All I can tell you is that my dog healed up in 2 or 3 days, and changes started happening inside of me. There was a peace and a joy and a contrition over sin. Sometimes I'd be overwhelmed with how selfish and crummy and dirty I was before God, and I never felt that before. But when I get down on my knees and deal with God about it, I get up feeling clean and whole. At the end of the week, I had another talk with God. Lord, I'm convinced. I don't have the slightest idea what this means in terms of my life or what I'm going to do. But I told you could have my life. It's yours. Now you just show me what to do and I'll do it. When I went back and told that man and his wife what had happened, they started crying like babies and praising the Lord. Then he showed me in the Bible where it said I needed to be baptized. Well, that took a lot of thought and prayer. My folks would have been happier if I'd come home telling them I used dope than to say I had been baptized. But I decided that if I was really serious about giving my life to Jesus, that I had to do it, and I did. Then I hitchhiked home to see my family. When I was growing up, we had this kind, loving woman named Cora who helped my mother. I used to hear her humming around the house. After I was saved, I realized that the tunes were hymns. I said to myself, I bet Cora is a Christian. So I went to see her before I met with my family.
Yes?
Cora? It's me, Lon.
Oh, my goodness. What are you doing here?
I wanted you to know I asked Jesus Christ into my life.
I've been praying for you since you were 2 months old. Come inside and tell me all about it. Oh, I'm so happy to hear all that. But what are you doing up here?
I've got my grandparents and my aunt and uncle all getting together tomorrow night. I'm going to tell them all about the Lord.
Lon, you do understand that that might not go so well.
Why? It's as plain as the nose on your face. They'll see it.
Listen, don't be upset if they don't. God's got to open people's eyes. Maybe God hasn't opened their eyes yet.
Oh, Cora, no. By the time I finish explaining it, it's going to be clear as a bell.
That may be, but don't be discouraged if it doesn't work out like you planned.
My family was skeptical to start with, just from the way I looked. I told them most everything that had happened and finally told them that I'd ask Jesus into my life. That's as far as I got. My uncle picked me up physically by my belt and the nape of my neck and literally threw me out of the house. When I told Cora what had happened, she had some good advice.
Oh, it's good that you went and talked to them. But we've got to pray for these people. We've got to pray that God opens their eyes.
For 7 years, my grandfather wouldn't talk to me. And it was 10 years before my uncle said anything to me at all. I'm happy to say that now they're all talking to me. I've had tremendous opportunities to share Jesus with them and had the opportunity to lead my dad to the Lord before he died. His biggest concern was that he wouldn't be Jewish anymore.
How could I turn my back on my heritage?
Dad, this is a completion of everything that being a Jew is. All the prophets in the Old Testament were looking forward to a Jewish Messiah who would save people from their sins by his blood.
And Jesus was Jewish?
Oh, not only Jesus, but all the apostles were Jewish. Practically the whole early church was Jewish. You don't become a Gentile when you receive Jesus. You complete what being a Jew is all about. He died a week to the day after he accepted Jesus. God has been extremely good to me. He's changed my life and changed my heart. He's answered my questions and met my needs. I am convinced that the only solution to life's mysteries and the only way to live a life of peace and contentment that overrides the problems is to have a personal relationship with the God of Israel. And a personal relationship with the God of Israel comes through the Messiah. I tried everything else, and nothing else worked. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Today, Lon Solomon is serving as the pastor of a church. Are you searching, empty, in need? The God who answered Lon Solomon's questions and met his needs is waiting to do the same for you. New life is for all who receive Christ. You may counsel with someone who is concerned by getting in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago area, 312-922-1462. If you listen in the United Kingdom or on the continent of Europe, you may address Unshackled in care of Transworld Radio, Biggleswade, Bedfordshire, England. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. Write and tell us you're listening, and ask others to listen too. Heard in the true story of Lon Solomon were Larry Coven, Faith McKinney, Bob O'Donnell, Matt DeCaro, Russ Reed, and Jim McCants. Original music, Lucille Becker. Sound, Nick Aloisio. The story was written by Marjorie Webb as she received it from Lon. This is Jack O'Dell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write this week, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. And if you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Someone who's concerned is waiting for your call. Area 312-922-1462. Thank you.